Hallelujah. Well, the title of today's sermon is a problem or an opportunity? What do you see? How do you know the difference? How do you maneuver through them? And how do you bring victory through every situation? So I want to talk about that, because one thing I know, that in this room, all of us have problems, right? Problems. Some bigger than others, but we all have problems. And as I read through Scripture, I read people with a lot of problems. But I see a lot of those problems turn into opportunities for the kingdom of God. Amen. And I want us to look at our life that way. You know, as you're going through life and trials hit you and things, you know, that's one thing, you know, I really loved about Pastor Green. He pastored this church for about 23 years. And one thing he made very clear, and he had a very funny way, kind of like a comedian way to preach it, is that you guys are a mess, he would tell us. All right. He called us dysfunctional. That's right, Rose. Over and over, just, how would you like to come to church and then, you know, be told, you're dysfunctional? Oh, I don't want to hear that. But I'm kind of saying the same thing in a nicer way. We all have problems, right? We all have problems. But in God's word, and when we live with him, when we serve him, God has a way to turn things around. Amen. Right? And I used to say this a lot before, and God loves to turn what seems dead to life. Amen. That's what he did with Jesus Christ, with Lazarus. Even in the Old Testament, we read about a prophet last week that somebody was raised from the dead. God used him as an instrument. So the main point today is, do you see a problem or an opportunity? Fear magnifies the problem. Faith sees an opportunity for victory in every problem. So one thing, as a Christian, we need to determine in our hearts that we're not going to live in fear, that we're going to live in hope and victory. Amen. There's a mindset, a spiritual mindset, a spiritual heart set, however you want to put it. You have to wake up every morning and set your heart and your mind that you are not going to live in fear, and that you're going to, everything that comes, good, bad, you're going to have hope in it and believe that God is going to turn it around to some purpose that's righteous, that's kingdom of God purpose. And that's a heart and a mindset. You know, some people just constantly live in fear. In fear of what could go wrong, and this, and things aren't going my way, and I wish this, and I wish that, and it starts bombarding them, and they just live in the state of fear and anxiousness, right? That is not what God teaches us how to live in the Bible. He says, cast all your cares upon me. My yoke is easy. Surrender it all to me, and I will give you rest, right? That's what Jesus teaches. So whenever you find yourself in a situation that problems are overwhelming you, it's time to shake it off and say, God, deliver me from this. Deliver me from this fear. Deliver me from this prison of being down, or this prison of being in bondage. And so faith is important. Two thoughts to start off with today. Let me get my notes out. The key to prevailing over problems is to know that your Heavenly Father is bigger than any problem. Amen. Amen. In John 16:33, God's word says, these things I have spoken unto you, that in me ye might have peace. Jesus was telling the disciples how he's going to overcome the world. And Jesus says here in verse 33, I have spoken to you these things so that you in me might have peace. In the world ye shall have tribulation. That's another word to say trouble. In the world you will have tribulation, but be of good cheer, I have overcome the world. So the one we serve, Jesus Christ, has overcome sin, death, and anything the world has, darkness. He's overcome them. And he sits on the right hand of our Father interceding for our behalf. Jesus, the overcomer, is with us. Therefore, you don't have to be swallowed up in problems. You can live in victory and joy and peace. Amen. It's really up to us. Amen? Do you ever, have you ever seen that guy do this motivational testimony and he has no arms and no legs? Yes. Is that the joy that comes out of him as he's speaking and peace? That's a perfect example of what I'm trying to get you to visualize today. No matter what the problems are, tribulations and trials, you can be a witness for Christ. And he's a perfect example of that. If you can picture him, just a stump of body on a wheelchair, spreading, be happy to people. And when he speaks, you're just like, man, my problems are nothing compared to that, right? He's overcome. You serve the God who overcomes. So you don't need to be swallowed up in that. So the key to prevailing over problems is to know who's on your side, right? Jesus Christ. He's bigger than all our problems. The key to seeing a problem as an opportunity is to know that God loves you and is with you. You know, it's one thing to say, God loves me. It's another thing to know God loves you when you're going through problems. Amen? It's another thing. And when you know God loves you, then you know somehow, some way, he's going to take care of you like any parent would take care of their child at some point. He will bring victory out of the situation you're in. So with that mindset and with that heart, it's not hard to say, no matter what I'm going through, I see this as an opportunity for me to grow, for me to understand, for me to be a witness, for me to just do things for his kingdom. And you'll notice that one of the greatest things God uses to move by his spirit are testimonies of what hard problems people have gone through and then how they got to the other side of that problem into a victory. And those testimonies, they impact people. And God uses them. So every problem is an opportunity in the kingdom of God. If you believe God loves you and is with you, then your faith will arise in all circumstances. Psalms 48, 1 to 3. Psalm 48, 1 to 3. Great is the Lord and greatly to be praised in the city of our God. That's why worship is so important. When you come to worship, it's not about what God can do for you in worship, right? Worship is about you're just worthy. And we worship him for being who he is. And the mercy and the grace and the great I am and so great is the Lord and greatly to be praised. So when you come into worship every Sunday morning, you're coming in with an attitude is he is so greatly to be praised. Amen? And when you start doing that as a body of believers, you'll start shaking the room in the spirit. Amen? You kind of get a little taste of it from time to time. But when all of us would just come in and say, who cares about all my problems? Right now, he's worthy to be praised. If all of us came in with that heart and that mindset, you know, things are going to start happening in the spirit that are powerful, right? And you can't manufacture that, you know. It's just when you begin to praise him, he shows up in a powerful, powerful way. And he's showing up, I know that. But he's greatly to be praised in the city of our God, in the mountain of his holiness. Beautiful for situation, the joy of the whole earth is Mount Zion on the sides of the north and the city of the great king. God is known in her palace. God is known in her palaces for a refuge. God's in control. He's our refuge. He's worthy to be praised. And he loves us. He does love us. In Romans chapter 8, 15, if you'll turn there. In Romans chapter 8, 15. Romans chapter 8, 15. Got a book. I'm marking these, but I marked them too much where I cut that one off. Romans 8, 15. The word of God says, "For ye have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but ye have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father." You are not a slave. You are not a slave to fear. You're not a slave to bondage. You're not a slave to fear of a problem, to just depression. These things are not of God. The answer is more of God. Putting yourself in a situation where God is there, whether it could be at home listening to Christian music, it could be in church, it could be on the road, you have to continue to put yourself in situations where God is being praised and worshiped and honored, and you will find breakthrough there. You will find breakthrough in those moments. But I love how it says it here, "For ye are not... You have not received the spirit of bondage to fear, but you have received the spirit of adoption. We cry out, Abba, Father." That means we are adopted into the kingdom of God. We are adopted into the family of God. That means we're adopted to all the benefits of that family, the inheritance of that family. Victory over death and sin, we have that because we were adopted into the overcomer, Jesus Christ, who overcame death, sin, the grave. We are adopted into this family. So, he's yours. He loves you. He's our Father. He doesn't want us to drown in problems. He wants us to turn problems into victory, into opportunities. And I see that. When I read God's word, that's what I see. I see God continually to move through problems and bringing people out of them who trust him. Now, there are a few examples of people who decided to drown in the problems, right? We have a few examples of that in Scripture as well. We have one of the disciples, right? We have some examples, and we don't want to be that. We don't want to be those people. We want to rise above our circumstances in Jesus' name and overcome these problems. So how do you know when you're becoming a slave? Because the Bible says we are not a slave to fear and to these things. But how do you know? What are some signs? And these are just my thoughts that I wanted to share with you. When the problem or the situation controls your emotions for a long period of time. I wanted to add the long period of time. Because there are times when something's going to happen and your emotions are going to go whack, right? They're going to go whack, right? But that happens. We're human, right? It hits us and we get hit like a train track, like a train sometimes. And it's normal to get, you know, a little emotional in that situation. But when you become emotional in a negative way for a long period of time, then there's a problem. And by ignoring it, you're not helping. Amen? How else do you know when you become a slave to a problem? The problem controls your moods for long periods of time. You ever heard that? They're just not themselves, right? Yeah. Well, when you see that for a long period of time, you're a slave to a problem. It's got a hold of you. The problem controls your joy for long periods of time. If you've been for a long period where you just, the joy of the Lord isn't just bubbling, there's a problem. And ignoring it isn't the answer. Amen? When the problem controls your fear, when you're just in constant fear for long periods of time, there's a problem. So those are some hints. And you can look at your own life or you can look at somebody else's life. Say, yeah, maybe there's a problem there. Pray for them. Give them an encouraging word. Do your best to help them. Do you see a problem or do you see an opportunity? Let's go to Numbers chapter 13, verse 17 for our Bible story today. Numbers 13, verse 17 to 33. And I'll read this passage and then we'll look at who saw a problem and who saw an opportunity. So we know the story, but it's always awesome to read these stories and then to relate them to our lives. And Moses sent them to spy. Remember, they crossed the Red Sea, manna, water of a rock. God was with them in the wilderness, in the desert. They were getting through, running away from the Egyptians because they were no longer slaves. You know the story. And here they are. In verse 17, it's time to check out the promised land. It's time to check out where Moses was told by God was the promised land. And so Moses sent them to spy out the land of Canaan. And he said to them, so just so you know, Canaan is that place, Jerusalem is. Canaan is that place where everybody's fighting for in the Middle East, right? So that's what we're talking about here, the Jerusalem area. And Moses sent them to spy the land of Canaan and said unto them, get you up this way southward and go up into the mountain and see the land, what it is like, and check out the people that dwelleth therein, whether they be strong or they be weak, if they be a lot or there be a few, and check out what the land is that they dwell in, whether it be a good or bad land, and what cities they be that dwell in, whether in tents or in strongholds. Are they in tents or are they in stronger buildings? And what the land is, whether it be fat or lean, whether there be a wood therein or not, and be ye of good courage, and bring of the fruit of the land. Now the time was the time of the first ripe grapes. So it was harvest time for the grapes. So hey, bring them back some grapes, because I guess he figured if they tasted really good, got good grapes, then it's a good land. So they went up and searched the land from the wilderness of Zin unto Rahob, as men come to Hamath. And they ascended by the south and came unto Hebron with Ahiman, Shisha, and Talmah. And the children of Anak were, now Hebron was built 7 years before Zoan in Egypt. And they came unto the brook of Eshcol and cut down from thence a branch with the clusters of grapes, and they bare it between two upon a staff, and they brought of the pomegranates that and of the figs. The place was called Brook Eshcol because of the cluster of grapes which the children of Israel cut down from thence. And they returned from searching of the land after 40 days. And they went and came to Moses. So they did their journey. They looked at the land. They got the grapes. They brought the grapes back, and here's the report. And they went to Moses and to Aaron and to all the congregation of Israel unto the wilderness of Paran to Kadesh, and brought back word unto them and unto all the congregation, and showed them the fruit of the land. And they told him and said, we came unto the land whither thou sent, where you sent us, and surely it floweth with milk and honey, and this is the fruit of it. So they confirmed on their trip that this is a land that's lush, flowing with milk and honey. The grapes are awesome. This is a land, a beautiful land. But the people that are in the land are very strong and dwell in the land, and the cities are walled. So they weren't just in tents. They were in a walled city and very great. And moreover, we saw children of Anak there. And the children of Anak were huge. You know, they were large, strong. And the Amalekites dwell in the land of the south, and the Hittites and the Jebusites and the Amorites dwell in the mountains, and the Canaanites dwell by the sea and by the coast of Jordan. So they're bringing back a report. The land is awesome, but it's being held very strongly. Caleb stilled the people before Moses. He also went on this spy trip. Caleb stilled the people before Moses and said, "Let us go up at once and possess it, for we are well able to overcome it." So Caleb comes like, it's an awesome land, and let's go. I don't care if there's giants in the land or strong people in the land. Let's go. God's with us. What are we worried about? We came out of Egypt, remember, when God gave us manna. So Caleb is able to see the victory, right? But not everybody's able to see the victory. Some see a problem. And here's what they said in verse 31. But the men that went with Caleb said this, "We'll be not able to go up against the people, for they are stronger than we." Fear. You can define that verse, fear. And they brought up an evil report of the land which they had searched into the children of Israel, saying, "The land through which we have gone to search, it is a land that eateth up the inhabitants thereof, and all the people that we saw in it are men of great stature, strong men. And there we saw giants, the sons of Anak, which come of the giants. And we were in our own sight as grasshoppers, so we were in their sight." So here we have a story where somebody sees a problem. Some people see a problem, and others see victory. Amen? Amen? So that's a very clear story of what I'm trying to get across to us today. We have a choice to make. Do you see a problem or do you see the opportunity? The spies saw a problem in the land of Canaan. They had fear. And you know that fear will vanish your faith. When you're in fear, it will vanish your faith and what you believe God can get you through. But the Bible was very clear. We read it. God has not given us the spirit of fear. We're not slaves to fear. Amen. When God has spoken, when God is in it, you can take the step. Amen? You can take the step. Because Caleb saw an opportunity for victory. Where did Caleb get this idea that he could defeat giants and take the land? Well, I have a thought on how Caleb thought this. How about the 10 plagues? How about the sea opening up for them? How about the manna showing up every morning except on Sundays? How about water out of the rock? How about there's many, many miracles, right? Okay, it doesn't take a genius to figure out how Caleb just thought God was going to be with them again. Yeah. If we can get into our hearts and our spirit, God can do it again and again and again. I know those of you who have been serving the Lord for a long time, you look back and you know those moments where God intervened. Amen. And when you hit the next problem, bring that with you in remembrance. That's why last week I said, whenever God answers a prayer, don't just like, "Oh, thank God he answered the prayer." I mean, celebrate it. Celebrate that God answered a prayer or God intervened. Or God did a miracle, or God saved you, or God, you shouldn't just like, "Oh, I'm so thankful, God." I'm just giving you advice here. You should celebrate when God does something. Amen? There's just those moments and times when things happen that you know God moved in a supernatural way. So it's easy to see how Caleb saw it. The question is, why didn't the other spies see it? They saw the same things. But it's a matter of faith and your attitude of your heart. You know, there are times, you know, I'm reminded about some just examples, you know, of times. Alyssa was driving down the road going to the airport, and out of nowhere, she never even saw it coming. Some metal object fell out of a truck that she never even saw, and it hit her, Casey's car, she was driving it, it hit her car and just scraped off the side, and, you know, it's at the body shop now. Just out of nowhere, And apparently that same object hit five other cars and between La Feria and Harlingen. And there was a few, Alyssa was shocked for a good 10, 12 hours where she kept in her mind repeat, just going through what could have been. I mean, it could have hit anything, right? Could have hit the windshield. It was a heavy, heavy, heavy metal object. It wasn't a small object. She thinks it was one of those like deer blinds, metal, like some hunter type thing. But it was heavy. It caused a lot of damage to other cars. We were probably the better off ones. The other cars got more damage. So you have moments like that. And Alyssa and I were talking about it. And, you know, God's with us. You know, it could have been a lot worse. But you can crumble in fear, or you can just celebrate God. It's our choice. The spies wanted to crumble in fear, but Caleb wanted to go and have faith. You know, there was other things. We were talking about it a few weeks ago with Michelle and Joseph when they had their car accident. And the miracle of God that was encountered by them, that there was, it wasn't worse than it was. And that moment, you won't be able to convince them that God was moving the pieces there of that situation. And maybe you have moments like that where you just know God intervened. Well, you need to keep those in your heart, because when it's time, when you get into another problem, it's time to remember those things like Caleb and say, let's go. There's an opportunity here. There's an opportunity to use this as a testimony. There's an opportunity to see God move. There's an opportunity to turn what seems dead into life. And that's the message I want to portray today, give you today, is do you see problems? Get out of it. Don't drown in them. God hasn't given us that spirit. He's given us a spirit to overcome. To overcome. Amen? Amen. And in closing here, I wanted to give you these thoughts, right? I think I put them in the notes. In order to see an opportunity in every problem, do the following. So these are just basics. Maybe you're wondering like, well, I kind of drown in my problems and I have trouble getting out of them. You can take these things right here. When you're seeing, when you feel yourself going through these states in life, and we're all human beings, we go through them. Focus on who God is. Focus on how awesome He is, how big He is. You know, I was looking at some old documentary or some documentaries about the universe and stuff, and He's pretty big. Yes. Yeah. Those galaxies and, oh, they're very close together, these two galaxies. They're only 15 billion miles, light years apart. But they're the closest galaxies there is. About, for galaxies, that's really close. That's, God's pretty big. They still don't know how the sun works, I found out. They're still trying to figure out how the sun actually works. The sun is hotter on the outside than on the inside. And they're trying to figure out how that works, because it should be the other way around. They're still trying to figure out how the earth perfectly rotates around the sun. They used to call it dark matter, but then they're like, no, that doesn't make sense, and they can't figure it out exactly. It's just all theories. I think you get the point. When you're going through problems, our Savior, our God who has adopted us into our family is big. Amen. He can handle it. Trust Him. Trust Him. So one thing, when you start going through problems, focus on God's size, on how awesome He is. Know God. This is very key. You got to know God. You get on your knees. If you have found yourself at a point where you're not getting personal prayer time with God, I'm not just talking about, Lord, I'm going to bed. Thank you for the day. Thank you, Lord. Amen. I'm not talking about those prayers. Those are good. I'm talking about getting on your knees and saying, Lord, I need you to do surgery in my heart. I need you to change me. I need you to cast this thing out. this anxiety or this problem or this fear. That's what I'm, know God, be in communication with God, be honest with God. You know, if you're struggling, tell him, I'm struggling. And he may lead you to read this word or go talk to this person or that person, but you have to be intentional. So know God personally. See yourself as an ambassador with power, not a victim in fear. Do you see yourself as an ambassador for the kingdom of God that has power? Because you are. The Bible says you are. God sees you as an instrument of his power. Speak the word of God. Proclaim the truth of God's word. So those are just some tips. You find yourself in down and your problems are absorbing you and you're a slave to them. Do these things. Do these things. Last two scriptures in closing. 1 John chapter 5, verse 4. 1 John chapter 5, verse 4. For whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world, and that is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. For whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world. And this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. I love that. I love that scripture. Because we're born of God. We are born of God. The victory is ours. Amen. It is ours. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 55. Our last scripture today. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, be unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, forasmuch as ye know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. I love that. Unmovable. Always abounding in the work. When you stop abounding in the work of God, you will find yourself unsteady. What does that mean? You know, I'm not talking about a title or a position. You can be in the work of God by praying for your neighbor. You can be in the work of God by the little things, encouraging somebody. So what we're talking about here is not a position or a title. I got to be in the work of God. I got to be doing this title. No, I'm talking about just being where God wants you to be. Doing the little things. When you're in that work of God, you'll be unmovable. For as much as you know that your labor is not in vain. When you are a child of God and you labor for him through either prayer, using your gifts, doing whatever you can, you are unmovable. And your faith will grow and grow and grow. Strong. So God gives us the victory, so stand firm. Therefore, be strong, always abounding in the work of the Lord. I hope you wrote down a note here. If you didn't, you can write down this. I choose to see an opportunity, not a problem. Right? I helped you because I'm going to look at your notes today. I'm just kidding. No, praise the Lord. Yes, let's give the Lord a clap offering. Amen. You know, we're going to have a child dedication here to end the service today. But before we get there, we're going to pray and close this time. But a lot of times, you know, as pastors, as a pastor, you're like, we want to pray for the people, altar call. But sometimes people have different ideas about altar calls. But let me just share this real quick. There are moments and times, and I believe in altar calls because I went to many of them myself, and God used them to break me down. Anytime there's an altar call and God is speaking to you that you need to take a step, you need to make a move, you should respond to it. Amen? And prayer. But there's also moments when you can do that so much that what you really need to do is go home and do it. You know what I'm saying? You can... I love altar calls, and they're God-ordained, I believe. But the thing that changed my life for real, and this is, I'm telling you from personal experience, The thing that changed my life, I believe all those altar calls I responded to, I needed it because I was being broken little by little by little by little. But the moment that I actually had my own altar call at home, in my bedroom, is the day that the power of God came into my life. It's the truth. Now, there are people who have had different experience that the power of God came in the church and in the altar, and that's all good. There's no right way or wrong way. But I'm telling you this, maybe some of us need to have that moment in our own personal private time. But maybe others need to respond to an altar call. So I wanted to, there's no right or wrong. There's about you being faithful to God in the little things. Amen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we choose to see opportunity and our opportunity for victory in every problem. Lord, we know that this year, 2020, is the year that we arise into our destiny, where we develop as leaders, where we develop as mature Christians. This is the year where we're going to start seeing your victory and your opportunities more and more, even through storms. This is the year that we can go home, have our own experiences with you outside the church, and witness and love people and pray for people. Lord, this is the year where we become the people that have victory, that can see the victory and take a step of faith, because we can defeat the giants. We can take the land from the enemy, from darkness. That's what you've called us to do, to take the land for your kingdom. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.